And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, your Capital Watch All-Stars from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association, President and CEO Rebecca Oyler. Rebecca, great to be with you.
Great to be back again, Dave.
And also on the panel, my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here, David.
So here we are, counting down the days. We're almost to the very end of this particularly brutal campaign of 2024. For those folks who've been in a coma or otherwise medicated, that Pennsylvania is the battleground state and that likely the outcome here will determine what happens in not just who gets to serve in the White House, but the U.S. Senate control and control of the U.S. House and all that stuff. But our front in the war, the thing that we are most concerned about here at Capital Watch is what happens in Harrisburg, what happens at the state policy level, and this election is going to be every bit as consequential as the federal one because you have a half of the 50-seat Pennsylvania State Senate up for election, and you have all 203 members of the Pennsylvania House standing for election. In the Senate, the Republicans control 28-22, and in the House, it is down to one seat. It is 102 Democrats to 101 Republicans, and so it's going to be a doozy.
And these races matter so much because while the national races collect a lot of the big headlines and all the publicity, when you look at what body is passing laws or declining to pass laws that are going to affect you personally, by far the Pennsylvania General Assembly has more impact on a citizen of Pennsylvania than what happens in Washington. It's just the reality. They're closer to the issues. Under federalism, they have the authority to deal with those issues, and in fact, they do. So the stakes are high when it comes to determining the outcome of these elections in the Pennsylvania Senate and the Pennsylvania House of Representatives.
Yeah. I mean, and especially everyday issues like, pocketbook issues with the state of the economy, the quality of the education experience in our schools, fighting crime and having public safety.
Fiscal policy, tax policy, regulatory policy, you name the energy policy. All these things are in large measure controlled by the Pennsylvania House and Senate.
Transportation policy too.
Yeah, transportation policy, transportation funding. A lot of these things, like you said, the pocketbook issues, the things that really hit people, most personally are the things that are affected by the state legislature for sure. So it'll be interesting to see. Right now we have a divided legislature. So coming out of the election this year, will it still be a divided legislature? Will it not? And of course we have a Democrat governor. The outcome of the election will affect how they all work together and what policies will come out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, we are not going to prognosticate in any way. We don't know. We'll find out the same time that you folks do. But we thought at least we could provide something of a public service by just giving some background on the races that are competitive, the way the maps have been drawn and the way that Pennsylvanians live. You have some seats that are just heavily to one party or the other, and that those either are not being contested or that the challengers are long shots. So we just wanted to bring it down here to the couple of seats that I think it's fair to say that everyone agrees that this is where the majority will be decided. So, looking at the state Senate, there are, I think, six seats, it's fair to say, that that are real battlegrounds. First I look at is out in Allegheny County, that State Senator Jim Brewster, a Democrat, is retiring, and that the battle there is between incumbent State Representative Nick Piscitano, a Democrat, and businesswoman Jen Dentini, a Republican. Now, in the last election or the last cycle when this seat was up, that Senator Brewster only won by a handful of votes. However, the district has been redrawn since then to be more friendly for Democrats.
And when you look at a Western Pennsylvania district, we've seen for the last decade or so a trend out in the western part of the state. More and more voters, even if they may have retained their Democratic Party registration, have been voting for Republicans. And this seat kind of illustrates that. Allegheny County, and Jen Dentini is a businesswoman who's been quite successful in the private sector, and she's really mounting a strong campaign out there in the Allegheny County seat. That's that open seat.
Yeah, as the southern part of Allegheny County, and just exactly as you say, that this will test, how far that trend will go. This is a working class district, and will Trump win? And if he does win that district, to what degree will he help Jim Dentini? Piscitano, of course, is an incumbent lawmaker, incumbent House member, and that he'll have the support of the formidable Allegheny County Democrat machine. So the next seat that I point to up in Erie, that you have incumbent Republican State Senator Dan Laughlin up against Democrat Jim Wirtz. And I know that that there's an awful lot of money that's being focused on that race. That's a seat that the Democrats did hold. I think that actually Senator Laughlin booted a Democrat incumbent. So that's one that the Democrats are trying to win back with Wirtz, who is a teacher and union leader.
And that's a poster child, really, that race, for the idea that, again, the voters in that district may be by majority Democrat, but you've seen the current senator win with Republican support in that race, even though the Democrats hold about an 8-point lead in terms of registration in that district. It's highly competitive, and it's a real race between the incumbent and the challenger.
And the thing about Dan, I got to say, he's a real character. He's a one of a kind. But it does seem as though he really matches that district.
And Pennsylvania is such a quirky state in terms of the demographics of our state.
Mm-hmm.
And there's interesting characters, interesting races, where it almost makes it, in a way, although it's serious business, it's a little bit entertaining to get to meet all the candidates from around the state and find out the way the different regions of the state behave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's so true. And I think it's interesting, too, because this area of Pennsylvania, like you said, it's all a little quirky, but probably is one of the focuses of, we're talking about Pennsylvania being in the spotlight right now. This area of Pennsylvania is especially in a spotlight, too, because that tends to be a swing area of the state. Sometimes goes Democrat, sometimes goes Republican. So we've seen national candidates come to Erie lately. And Biden won that district by 0.5%. So it is
in 2020.
In 2020, yep. So,
and whereas Donald Trump won it in 2016. So this is this is one of these areas that is being heavily contested, because whoever wins Pennsylvania most likely wins the White House. Another seat that is up in the western part of Allegheny County, it's incumbent State Senator Devlin Robinson, who is being challenged by Nicole Rosito. I think I'm saying that right. And again, just like the Erie seat, this is one that has been held by the Democrats in the past. It was only for one. No, actually, they've held it two times, two terms. But that, Guy Reschenthaler, the congressman from the Southwest, that he held that seat previously. Other prominent Republicans have been there beforehand. And Nicole Rosito is a teacher and a former town council member from Jefferson Hills.
And once again, that pattern that we've been seeing, Western Pennsylvania seat. And the Democratic challenger is looking at a district where the registration advantage for Democrats is 44% to 41%,
mm-hmm.
but yet it's a highly competitive race. And Robinson has won the seat previously and could be poised to do so again, despite the registration advantage the Democrats have.
Yeah. Where are we going now? Yeah, in Philadelphia, in Northeast Philadelphia, and this is a seat that the Republicans have not held for decades, although Northeastern Philadelphia is the most Republican-friendly part of the city of Philadelphia, that you have State Senator Jimmy Dillon, who won in a special election, and he is up against Republican Joe Picozzi, who's a first-time office seeker, a former congressional staffer. He's a young fella. But that the numbers in this race show that it's actually potentially – it's an upset for the Republicans. This district overlaps the state house district of incumbent Republican Representative Martina White, who's the only state lawmaker from the city of Philadelphia. And So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I mean, it really, Senator Dillon, it's not clear whether he's actually putting in the work to hold on to that seat or whether he's just kind of depending on, you know, on traditional patterns, on the, you know, the Philadelphia Democrat machine. So that is one potential upset. It's not nearly as much of a long shot as people might think.
Not quite a shocker, but still would bode very well for Republican control of the legislature.
Correct, because the Republicans are likely to lose a seat that, again, this was the redistricting that was imposed on Pennsylvania by the state Supreme Court when they gave one expert of their choosing, who was from California, gave him the map and redrew everything. That the this is the 15th district, which is Dauphin County, and that it's a heavily Democrat district, and that incumbent Representative Patty Kim, who represents the city of Harrisburg, that she is the Democrat nominee for the state Senate seat, and she is up against Dauphin County Treasurer Nick DeFrancesco, who is a former Dauphin County commissioner, and that even though DeFrancesco he's a known entity, and obviously he's won some elections. It just looks like from the way that this map has been drawn that Patty Kim really has the upper hand. I think it would take some significant
The gap there between registered Republicans versus registered Democrat is very large there, and Democrats hold a strong majority.
Yeah, it's like 15%. So anyway, if that goes the way people expect it to, that means that the R's would lose one seat. Can they hold the others? Can they pick up one of the challenge seats? Time will tell. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor. With me, Rebecca Euler and Steve Bloom, and that we are going over again, just sort of just a cheat sheet of the races that are in play, so that as you are listening to the news in the final day, and especially listening to the returns on election night and the results immediately after, give you some sense of where the action is. All right, so we're going to move to the PA House, and I guess the first one to go to here, the real marquee race in Cambria County, is incumbent Representative Frank Burns from Johnstown, who is being challenged by Amy Bradley, who is the leader of the Cambria County Chamber, also a former broadcaster in that area, and that this is a race where in Burns's district, President Trump is going to win by a significant margin, and that Representative Burns has withstood that in the past. I would say that, meaning no disrespect to others, that Amy Bradley is the highest quality challenger that he has faced, and that this is going to be a real this is going to be a key sign. This is one to look to. If Burns hangs on, maybe the Democrats hold on to their majority in the PA House. If Amy Bradley wins, that may be a sign that things are breaking for the Republicans and that the R's may take back the majority in the House.
Yeah, truly a big deal. Every one of these House races, these close House races, are a big deal for control of the PA House because, as you stated at the beginning, David, the 102 to 101 majority that the Democrats hold, the most tenuous of all majorities,
yes,
the one-vote majority.
And, it couldn't possibly be slimmer.
And so every single one of these Democratic or these House districts that we speak of are crucial to the outcome of who actually gains control of the legislature in Harrisburg.
And even beyond that, the D's and R's here don't really express this. It's also about having operational control. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have 102, but if you have independent-minded people or stubborn people or egomaniacs or other problematic persons, you can't actually get enough votes to pass things. And we've seen that happen in the past. So,
One other comment on the Burns Bradley race, the amount of money being spent on that race, a Pennsylvania House district.
Yeah. No, please expound on that.
And keep in mind, the Pennsylvania House district is about 70,000 people, and in a state with a population of 13 million plus. So, it's a tiny district.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about millions of dollars coming in,
correct,
mostly from the outside,
correct,
to try to tip this one way or the other. So, it's as you mentioned, kind of a bellwether. it's also a test for how much money can be spent on one tiny little Pennsylvania State House district.
And how much are the voters willing to tolerate before they get so annoyed that they won't vote? They won't vote for anybody.
I thought it was bad just being a Pennsylvanian this year. I guess if you live in this district, it's even worse. Huh?
A couple more to point here. Incumbent State Representative Joe Hogan in Bucks County only won by a handful of votes. It was the tightest margin last time around. This time he's being challenged by Democrat Anna Payne, who's a Middletown Township Board supervisor. And so this is another key race to say, if Representative Hogan can hang on against that challenge, that maybe the R's are in good shape. If he would be knocked off by this challenger, that things might be moving in the other direction. Out in Allegheny County, incumbent State Representative Valerie Gatos is being challenged by Democrat Hadley Haas, and that Hadley Haas has the support of incumbent Democrat Congresswoman Summer Lee. And I know that Congresswoman Lee has invested heavily in this race. Representative Gatos, this is a split district, 42.5D, 42.5R, 15% independent, another true bellwether. And, I think that Representative Gatos has been a very substantial member of the House. She's a smart lawmaker, a former business leader, and that Hadley Haas is sort of a liberal activist in that Summer Lee kind of mode. So I think that's another bellwether race to see whether, people will to what degree the national races impact state House races. And I'll just do a couple more here, get through them quickly. Brian Monroe in Bucks County, an incumbent Democrat versus Daniel McPhillips. That McPhillips is a former Warminster Township supervisor, and he's currently the Bucks County Recorder of Deeds. And this was an extremely tight race last time around. That Representative Monroe is a Navy veteran and a former Radnor Township police officer. So that's another very hotly contested race. Incumbent Republican Joe Emmerich up against Anna Thomas, who is a Penn graduate, and she's partnering with government and community groups on public safety and climate change. So this was a very close race last time around. And so we'll see how well Representative Emmerich has done in reinforcing his position, standing up his office, serving the constituents well. We'll see how much traction the challenger gets on issues like climate change in a suburban Philadelphia district. So I know that we're coming down to the end. There are a handful more here that I would speak to, but I don't want to totally run out the clock. But there's a lot to look at, and again, these elections are supposed to be, they're intended to be, an expression of the will of the people as to what's important to them, as to who they trust to stand for them at the state capitol in Harrisburg to grapple with these issues. And I guess just a few thoughts from you folks. I mean, what issues do you see being prominent this cycle?
It seems to be the pocketbook issues more so than anything else, especially when you're looking at state legislative races. People have been struggling with the inflation that's been a present factor in our economy for the last couple of years. They're fed up with it. They're frustrated, and they know that it's coming directly from the policies of a government that is all too willing to spend taxpayer money to inflate and expand the economy, thereby driving additional inflation, and they're sick of it.
Yeah. Government greed, I would say.
Government greed.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it's all about the economy this time around for sure. But I would just add to that, I think energy is part of that economic discussion because people are tired of their energy bills and tired of paying a lot of money for gas. And I think that is also going into the calculation as people go to the polls as well.
Yeah. And of course, high energy prices drive inflation, as the listeners have heard me say, because you have to have energy for every step of production when you're making things. You've got to have energy to transport things from where they're made to where you buy them. And so when energy prices go up, everything goes up.
Yeah.
Well, as always, it's a pleasure being with you guys and monitoring the situation. We'll be back for more. We'll sift through the wreckage when the election returns are in. But until then, Steve, where can people go to learn more about you and what you do?
They can visit commonwealthfoundation.org.
Excellent. Rebecca, where can people learn more about the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association?
They can find us at pmta.org.
Outstanding. And as always, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org. From Steve and Rebecca and me, thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.